strength. Oh, heal my body. Told me to run on. Heal my body. Told me to run on. Heal my body. Told me to run on. He's my friend. Save my soul. Told me to live on. Save my soul. Told me to live on. Save my soul. Told me to live on. He's my friend. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. If you want your soul revived, tell him what you want. If you want your soul revived, tell him what you want. If you want your soul revived, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. If you want his kingdom, tell him what you want. If you want his kingdom, tell him what you want. If you want his kingdom, tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Light is never busy, tell him what you want. Light is never busy, tell him what you want. The light is never busy. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want.
Amen. You know, I was standing over there thinking to myself, I was like, you know, my God is so good. That song said you can call him whenever you want him. His phone is never busy. Sometimes when we call our friends, their phone is always busy, even when it's not busy, which means they see you calling them, but they won't answer. But when you call on Jesus, the song said every time you call him, he'll answer. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because if you need your body healed, he'll answer. Come on.
What you want, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want.
Somebody ought to give God some praise. And somebody ought to give God some praise in here today. Amen. Amen. For some of us, God is the only one that'll listen to us. Amen. Amen. The song said you can call him up whenever you need him, and he'll be there. Anybody ever experienced that in their life? When you couldn't get help from nobody else, but when you called on God, he showed up. And when he showed up with all power, and he moved that thing just for you. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here today. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you. Thank you for you being here in this service with us today. And thank you for your presence, for we know when your presence is here, everything we need is here. All we have to do is reach up and grab it. All we have to do is offer you up a little bit of praise. For the Bible teaches us that you inhabit the praise of your people, which means if we give you some praise as an offering, you'll reach into our situation and make a change for us. So we come this morning to say thank you for being here with us. Thank you for making changes in our lives that we need. We ask now that you continue to be with us. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We'll now have our opening hymn 540.
Earth and heaven ring. gospel train is coming. I know it's coming again, y'all. But one thing I do know, oh, he can save bread. Oh, you get your house in order. You see, the Lord is coming back again.
Our Father, thou who rules and who super rules, thou who is all powerful, almighty, the only one who cannot be questioned, the one who decided one day that he would reach down and from the dust of the earth would make man in his own image. We come to you this morning. Master, you have heard the request for prayer for George Harwick and his family, for they are enduring a traumatic time right now. But it's not just them. And many of us who sit today in this congregation are enduring some things that we are keeping to ourselves. Perhaps some things that we have shared with some close friends. But however, Lord God, we are enduring. We have burdens that we are trying to hold up. And in many cases, Master, we find ourselves getting weak because we are only holding them with human strength. But Master, we know that the power that you have is able to lift our burdens and make our way light, for you have supernatural power. So this morning we come asking that your supernatural power will find its way to our situations, will find its way to our homes, will find its way into our marriages, will find its way to our jobs, will find its way to our church. Because if we have you and all of your power, no matter what come up against us, we can stand. Master, we're asking that your power be with us, that your power never leave us. And when we feel ourselves falling, we ask that you lift us back up so that we can stand on your word and not be moved. We ask now of these blessings. In your son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
Thank you.
and honor. Thank you, Jesus.
Bow. Our Father God, we come now, Lord God. Thank you for these gifts that have been given here today. We pray, Master, that these gifts will show someone that you still love all men, not just some men, but all men, for all are your children. Master, we pray that they realize that you have a hand that can help them beyond any situation they find themselves in. Use this church to be that hand. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen.
May God, from whom all blessings flow.
Bowed in
sorrow. Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Please walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me all along this Jesus journey. Lord, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Many of us in here want Jesus to walk with us. Don't play with me. I said, do you want Jesus to walk with you? Oh my God. I think we become so relaxed when it comes to God, we just expect him to walk with us. Don't you know he don't have to? And sometimes he shouldn't, but yet and still he walks with us. Somebody ought to be giving God some praise. Amen. Sometimes we're not worthy of him walking with us. But yet and still he walks with us. Because he is a loving God who's willing to forgive us of our sins and our transgressions. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen, because I know if he didn't walk with me through all of my stuff, I may not be here. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I was doing stuff I should not have been doing. But yet and still, God still walked with me. He kept me. Amen. 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 I get excited. See, because I'm a young man from the rough sides of the road. And I've stabbed down the barrel of a gun twice, and I'm still here. I'm going to say that one more time. I stabbed down the barrel of a gun twice, and I'm still here. Glory be to God. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we'll read verse 46. And while you're turning, let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master, for your presence here. And Master, we thank you for what you're about to share with your people, for they are your people and not mine. And so, Master, we know that when you share things with them, you share it with them from a father's perspective, which means you share it with them in a way that they can understand and feel your love. So we say thank you, Master, for you doing just that. And because it's not me, but it's you, if it was me, nothing would change. But since it is you, things will change and things will get better. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew 27, verse 46. Since we are in Lent, and we're going to do a series of preaching about the last statements of Jesus for these next 6 weeks. And we opening with this particular statement from Jesus that can be found in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And it reads, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Amen. Amen. And if you don't get anything out of this message other than this, please hear this. He did it for you personally. Let me say that again. He did it for you personally. So you ought to take this, as Deion Sanders says, personally, because he did it personally for you, because he knew what you were going to endure before you got here on earth. He knew every decision that you would make before you got here. And this one teaching kind of freaks people out when you talk about predestination. But let me let you know that your soul has already sojourned. Your soul do not die. Your soul does not have an age. Your soul is eternal. Your soul is from everlasting to everlasting, just like God. So he knew every decision that you were going to make before you got here. I'm already preaching. But in this last statement, and before I get to the last statement, there are so many arguments out there nowadays. Everybody has an opinion, including theologians. Okay? And there are so many arguments about this holy and very important scripture. And the arguments with this scripture actually begin when Jesus opened up his mouth and spoke during that ninth hour while he was hanging on the cross. Because many of them thought that he was calling on Elijah. And this is perhaps okay for some of them because they misunderstood, because they were Judeans who came from the south part of Judea. So their dialect was different. By Jesus being from the north part of Judea and from Galilee, his dialect has something that was a little bit different from what they were used to. So when he said Eli, Eli, they thought he was calling Elisha. But some of us who knew who he was, just like some of us today, we know who he is, but yet and still we misunderstand it. Lord, have mercy. Yet and still we misunderstand many times when he's talking to us to get us to do certain things. And I wonder why sometimes we misunderstand. Is it because we're not really listening, or we just don't want to hear what he's saying? Because you know how we feel. Most of us feel that if we don't know, then we can't be counted for that sin. Well, let me let you know something right now, that you sin also by omission. Which means you sin by what you don't do or by what you don't know. So guess what? You are still counted for the sin. God is smarter than you. You're not smarter than God. Do you not know God already covered all bases, everything you think you can do to slide your way out of stuff, to do the things that you want to do? Do you not know that God has already covered that? His mind is infinite. It's from beginning to end, which means he knows all things, and he knows even what you're thinking right now. You can't hide nothing from God. So some of these folks were arguing that, you know, he's speaking to Elijah versus to God. And their argument is because they want to call him a prophet versus the Messiah. And I know you guys hear all these arguments today. And that's why a lot of our young folks don't come to church now, because there are so many opinions out there. They don't know who to follow. They don't know who to believe in. They don't know what to do. Because there's so many opinions. But let me tell you this. I don't care how many opinions it is. He still is God. He is still our Lord and our Savior. Despite someone else's opinion, know that your salvation don't depend on no one but you. I'm standing on something God just gave me. And God wants you to know, we so concerned with everybody else. Be concerned with yourself. Amen. If we start taking care of self instead of being so concerned with everyone else, God can make this world a whole lot better. Amen. But the one thing that we don't want to do is talk about our own faults. The one thing that we don't want to do is talk about our own shortcomings. But God said, look at yourself versus looking at the other person. But back to this text. Here in this text, Jesus says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And some of them misinterpreted it to say that he's talking to Elisha. verses talking to God, and simply some of them did it because of where they were from. And like I said, some of them did it because they just didn't want to accept the fact that he is God the Messiah. There would be the scribes and the Pharisees who were from where he was from, who just didn't want to accept the fact that he is God. And then there are arguments from theologians because they believe that the Greek scribes mistranslated this particular text. Because when you look at it in Matthew, it's written in Hebrew. But when you go over into Mark, you see that it's written in Arabic. Because he goes from saying Eli, Eli in Matthew's to Eloi, Eloi in Mark. Which means that it was written in Arabic versus written in Hebrew as it is in Matthew. So they argue the point, well, who was he talking to? Translation means nothing. I had an argument or a debate with my nephew who will probably start coming to our Bible classes. There are so many people who are now concerned about calling him Yahshua, because the Bible says call him by his name. Well, guess what? Jesus and Yahshua means the same thing. God is not caught up in the letter. He is caught up in what you mean.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. We are so caught up in frivolous stuff trying to make ourselves more right than somebody else. And God wants you to know he don't care about that. All he cares about is where is your heart. Do you not know if you call him Jesus and others want him to call him Yahweh or whatever, Yeshua, God already knows what you're talking about. He already knows what you're talking about. Don't get caught up in two semantics. Let me tell you this. I love the argument for educational sake. But one thing, I always remember that God, that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I don't care if you call him Yeshua or whatever you call him. He's still Lord and Savior. He's not just some prophet. He is God's son, born to a virgin, given through a virgin birth. And his mother was not just some woman that God selected. She had been preparing for that moment all of her life. God knows what he's doing. He's God and God all by. He don't need our help. As a matter of fact, these arguments are just arguments. They're just semantics. But we'll build a whole religion off of an argument.
Amen.
We'll build a whole religion off of semantics. When God said the simple fact is, he's still God. I don't care what church you go to. If Jesus is being taught, you're all right with me. I don't care what argument point you're coming from, but if you get back to Jesus, we are good. Now, if you go away from Jesus, we got a problem.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the answer. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the answer, and he is the only answer. And when we take a look at this text, we find out there are some things here that we need to look at. The first thing we need to look at is that God cannot look upon sin. When you look at this text, Jesus is calling out to God because God has turned his face. Because Jesus is now starting to die. Somebody didn't hear me. Jesus is now starting to die because he is now taking upon himself our sins. Sin kills you, but it kills you slowly. Some of us think that we've done some stuff and we got away with it because we don't see the immediate effect of our sin. But let me tell you, baby, you must understand that every time you sin, you die a little bit more. And because of your sin, it separates us from God. But thank God, God is so smart that he set it up that when he sees us, he don't see us, but he sees the blood of Jesus. Somebody will be giving God some praise in here. Because some of us just sinned on our way to church. Reverend, you talking too real today. Some of us were sinning on our way here. And some of us sinned last night and forgot to ask God for forgiveness before we came. But the Bible shares with us, do this for me. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We find that God cannot be a part of sin. He separated himself from Jesus because of Jesus becoming part of sin. And because of that, Jesus has suffered violence and was separated from the triune Godhead. But God always have a way of restoring us. And because Jesus' mission was to die in sin, God will raise him up in power and glory, cleansing him of the sins that he had. And because he was able to get up and was cleansed, so can we. Thank God. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says this, but God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet what? Christ died for who? I told you, make it personal. Take us out of there and put your name there. He died for who? Thank you. I was wondering if somebody was going to say it. He died for me. He knew Roger was going to have some problems. He knew Roger was going to have some shortcomings. He died for my shortcomings, although he was innocent of all sin. And verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath through him. So every time God sees us, he don't see our sin because he cannot be a part of sin. But he sees the blood of Jesus because it's the blood of Jesus that keeps us from the wrath of God.
Amen.
He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. As a matter of fact, he probably, if he was selfish, he wouldn't have did it for you. He would have stayed in heaven. But people was praising and worshiping him, and he had no problems, no issues in this world. But he put all that aside to come down and die a horrible death for you. The second thing we need to look at is Jesus felt alone on the cross. Not only was he forsaken by God, but he was forsaken by his family members and his friends. Sometimes you're going to be all by yourself.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, here's life application. A lot of times you're going to be standing all by yourself when it gets tough in your life. When things are hard, that's when you're going to find out who your real friends are. That's who you're going to find out which family member you can count on. And because when things get tough in your life, people start bagging up on you. And as a matter of fact, if you look further in the scripture, it'll tell you that all of his acquaintances stood and watched afar off. All the men, all the women that he had taught, they stood and watched from a distance as he was being slaughtered. Nobody said a word. The Bible shares with the only people that made their way to the cross was his mother, his mother's sister, Mary Magdalene, and John, the one who they say he loved. Because remember in the text, Jesus looked down and saw his mother and said, mother, behold thy son.
Amen.
Son, behold thy mother. When things get tough in your life, only a few people will be there for you. Life application is everybody is not for you. Everybody who you call a friend is not a friend. You need to learn to prioritize who's a friend and who's an associate. I told my nephews a long time ago, I got a whole bunch of associates. I got a few friends. They're the ones I know I can ride with or who will ride with me, no matter what goes on in life. is so smart. God is so awesome that he let Jesus die alone so we can see how we ought to prioritize things in our life when it comes to people. The third thing, and I'm closing, in this moment when Jesus spoke, he immediately became seen.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear me? In this moment when Jesus spoke, he immediately became seen so that he could fulfill the prophecy of the old text. This is how we know that Jesus is the Son of God, not just some prophet. Isaiah 53 says this, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement," Lord have mercy, "that brought us peace." Did you hear that? I'm going to read that one more time. I can't just read by that one. "Upon him was the chastisement." In other words, the whooping that you should have taken, the beating that you should take, anybody here have big brothers and sisters? There were times when I was younger when we were beginning whooping because we'd done something bad. And mama whooping us so that the big brothers and sisters can't take it no more. They'll jump in and take the whooping for you.
Oh, I wish.
Oh, nobody experienced that. None of y'all have that? Woo! Well, I need to really tell my big brothers and sisters I love them a lot. Because that was a couple of times they jumped in and stopped that whooping. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus took those lashes that you ought to be taking. Jesus took that punishment that you ought to be taking. In that instance, he took upon him all, not some of your sins, but every last one of your sins, in that instant with one statement, he took them all upon himself. So that you, Lord have mercy, can live a life that's free, full with peace, joy. Somebody ought to be shouting. Because y'all in here enjoying all that stuff because Jesus died. So you wouldn't have to take the whooping. That good job you got, thank Jesus. That beautiful home you have, thank Jesus. That loving spouse you got, thank Jesus. Oh, that business that you have, thank Jesus. Your sons and your daughters that you have that treat you so good, thank Jesus. Because he took upon himself the punishment that you should have. That you should have received.
Amen.
So when he was calling out to his father, he was calling out because he was taking upon himself all of your sins so he can take them to the grave with him and lead them there. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my father's house are now open. There are one who do not know God and free pardon of your sins. The time is now. The Bible says, find God while he can be found. For surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. The doors of my father's house are now open. If there will be one. Let us bow. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you for your words. As a matter of fact, Master, we want to thank you for the actions of your Son, who was willing to die on the cross for all of our sins. And his grace and mercy now travels with us. And we pray that as we leave this place, that they will go with us, go before us, Master, and move all of the snares and the traps that the enemy has set for us out of our way, so that we can walk upright. And Master, that we can look like you expect for us to look in your Son Jesus Christ as we reflect the cross by our actions. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. We ask now that all of God's children sing.